Hello, friends, and Happy New Year to all my listeners around the world. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area, with now over a quarter of a million listeners in over 90 countries, and I just want to thank everyone so much for their wonderful support. Excuse me, got a little cough. Today we'll be having a special New Year's Eve, New Year's show with my friend Simon Parks, live from England from now to 3 o'clock, followed by prayers for Australia from 3 o'clock to 3:30 p.m., and then I'll be interviewing one of the world's most famous water scientists, Professor Jerry Pollack of the University of Washington here in Seattle, from about 3:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. This coming new year promises to be a year of many wonderful changes as the planet ascends into the fifth dimension. All of us chose to be here, and it's an exciting time to be alive. I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, especially Corey and Solon Kirkland for their wonderful support, as well as my wonderful friends, Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, and Jan Erik and Emma Louise, of course, in Norway, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this world hopefully a better place. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. And with that, I want to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website and provides wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who support my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, Eric and KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with one of your loved ones who passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me anytime at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. On behalf of all the Hopi Indians in Arizona, I'd like to thank everyone for their beautiful support for their new library as well as clean water for the Hopis. If you'd like to donate, make a tax-deductible contribution to their clean water efforts, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to send some books or perhaps donate a computer for their new library, it would really be appreciated. Again, just to send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and all support will be accepted. I wanted to tell you, all of you, before we talk to Simon in just a few minutes, of some amazing things coming up. My next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be March 13th, 14th, and 15th, and I had a special going on to December 31st where there was a 50% discount off the registration fee of only $125 for the entire conference, and I've extended that to January 18th. So if you would like to come, this special is still extended, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can go to the website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. Twice next year, or this year actually, from January 23rd to February 7th, 2020, and May 17th to June 5th, excuse me, I'll be taking a small group of people to Peru to visit one of the world's most famous spiritual places, Machu Picchu. I have been told that I will be going in to the Hollow Earth from Machu Picchu. They told me how to do it, and so if people would like to come along with me, more than welcome to come along with me to the Hollow Earth. We'll also be visiting Cusco, Ollantaytambo, the Sacred Valley, Pizac, as well as the Nazca Lines in Paracas on the coast of Peru, which has a fascinating museum of hybrid human extraterrestrial skulls. The cost is only $497 with airfare and accommodations extra, and if you'd like to go, please let me know. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. We'll also be meeting with a wonderful lady named Marcela Vasquez, who splits her time between Colorado and Cusco, Peru. She's a very special lady who has regular and direct face-to-face contact with humans from the Andromeda Galaxy. People from the Andromeda Galaxy have a blue skin because of the blue of their blue sun. They're just like us, except they're in the higher dimensions, and I think it'll be really an out-of-this-world experience. I also will be going back to Mount Shasta twice next year, from July 1st to the 8th, and again from August 27th to September 3rd. Miracle healings have been happening on a regular basis recently at Mount Shasta. Last year, they fixed my eyesight. I did have blurry farsighted, blurry vision, farsighted vision in my right eye of 20/50 vision. They restored the eyesight in both of my eyes to 20/10 crystal clear eyesight last year when I was at Mount Shasta. If you'd like to come on the trip, it's just $200 per person. Both trips are now filling up, so I urge you to contact me soon if you'd like to go. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Finally, I'd like to mention that Christine Light sells wonderful products called harmonizers to neutralize dirty electricity, especially from 5G cell towers. If you'd like to get one of her harmonizers, it does really help. Her website is www.quickrestoreharmonizer.com. Also, there's a new health product out from my friends in the Hollow Earth, from Billy Fay Woodard and his father Zora from the Hollow Earth. It's called Liquid Gold. It's a quantum herbal mixture that does really help on balance your health. It's really helped mine. I've been using it now for the last month. If you're interested, please see their website at www.liquidgoldrx.com/my name, Ted Mahr, T-E-D-M-A-H-R, or you can phone 719-428-9746 for more information. And finally, there was a news story out yesterday here in Seattle that the Seattle's public schools have been forcing children to get immunizations using the MMR vaccination. They say this is mandated by state law, but the problem is that I looked up the law last night, and it's wrong. Under the Revised Code of Washington, there still isn't a religious exemption. So if you are a parent or your child has a religious exemption to the vaccinations, they can simply opt out. And you can tell the school district that, too. The citation is RCW 28A210.090, subsection 1A. If you read that, it'll 1A or 1B, it'll very clearly what it'll give you your rights. Anyway, now I'd love to go on to my friend Simon in England. Simon, boy, what an exciting time to be alive, isn't it?
Yes, Ted. It's after a little break for Christmas, we're back to normal business.
Oh, good. I'm glad. That's good. I just got a message that my station is blocked in Japan. So for anybody having problems, I don't understand. We're operating normally, aren't we, Eric? Okay. So I assume if you are having problems listening to me today, just send me an email and perhaps we can clear it up later. Anyway, Simon, did you have a nice Christmas?
Yes, thank you, Ted. It was very quiet, which is exactly what I wanted.
Uh-huh. Good. I'm glad. Well, one of the first posts you had, before we go to your posts, and we've got questions too, some good questions from the audience, Simon. What would you like to start with today as a topic?
Not really. I think just go straight to the questions, Ted, because we try and get through as many as we can.
All right. Okay. All righty. This is a question from Maria in Munich, Germany. She said that it's an interesting one. She said that I'm trying to paraphrase it because it's a long one. There was a question to Simon regarding the transition of the souls make after the body dies. You described a tunnel of light on its end as a trap. Let's see, I'm kind of skimming this over. My question to Simon, is the transition of souls after death of the bodies via a river valid and okay? Or maybe we went through this before. Is it another trap for harvesting? I guess the people keep asking. I've had several questions regarding the same issue about whether people should go to the light or not, Simon. So,
I think we will always get these questions because it's one of the most fundamental issues that we face. Uh-huh. When the physical body, no longer works, then the soul must find somewhere else for it to reside in. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't have to be a human body, but if you're on Earth, then you will find another body. But the natural reaction of the soul is to try to find a physical form that will suit it. Mm-hmm. So what happens is that the negative forces attempt to intercede. So they will use a holograph or some sort of projection that means something to that person. So if you were deeply religious, mm-hmm. you might suddenly find a revered religious figure turn up. Or let's throw some humor into this. Let's say that you were an absolute fan of horse operas, and you spent all your life watching a horse operas, mm-hmm. and then your physical body dies, you might find John Wayne comes to collect you. Now, these aren't really coming here. It is just a holograph. They say to you, I've come to collect you, and you go towards the light. Suddenly you find that you are put into some sort of holding area or waiting area, and then another body becomes available. But the reality is that you are drawn towards a tunnel of light, which you go towards, and then you are given a massive electromagnetic shock. This is to the soul, not to the physical body. Your body's, you know, back on Earth. And what that does is it wipes out that lifetime's memory. So each time you start afresh, and the problem is that apart from snippets or a bit of hypnotic regression, one never really remembers your previous lifetime.
I see. Interesting. Why do you think it's the case, Simon, where we don't remember our lifetimes?
Because of this very massive electromagnetic shock that is administered to the soul when it's in the holding area. Mm-hmm. And this is part of the prison planet's operation, because if everybody remembered who we were and what we did, within a short three or four lifetimes, we would have a most wonderful planet. We would have a most wonderful place, because we would learn from our mistakes very quickly. But if every time we are brought back to zero and we have to start again, right. we are having to rediscover and relearn, and we never really move on as much as we should. Mm-hmm. So this false loss of memory is right. to keep humanity down and not evolving.
Oh, I see. Okay. So that's why you say often that going to the light is a trap, and interesting. Okay. All right. And there's no one to ask once you pass over.
Well, there are angels. Uh-huh. There are real angels. Uh-huh. But you know, there aren't that many of them. Mm-hmm. But the fake ones are computer generated, so they're just millions of them. Mm-hmm. So the likelihood of, you know, finding a real angel mm-hmm. is quite thin. Mm-hmm. Whereas these replicas, these artificial creatures, they're just to a penny. Mm-hmm. And the point is that if you were to take a very good person who in their lifetime did some good work, either in the science or right. or the hospital, mm-hmm. and let's say they remembered their previous lifetime, or when they came back again and they reincarnate, mm-hmm. they would pick up their experiments from where they left off. So within two or three lifetimes, mm-hmm. their experiments would advance the human race hundreds of years. Well, the jailers of this prison planet don't want that. And mm-hmm. that is why we are all subject to this massive shock to prevent us remembering. Some people do. Some people do have memories. And, of course, that's because this electric shock that is administered is not foolproof. So many people do have past memories. However, we've got to overcome the control system. And once we do that, we break free.
Mm. Wonderful. Wonderful. Have you had the chance to talk to spirits on the other side once they've gone through?
Okay. I don't have that skill. Unfortunately, that's not my gift. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's not something that I can claim to fame.
Sure. Right. I've gotten a lot of questions on Australia recently. And I'm having actually the first part of my second hour will be prayers for Australia.
Right.
I just got a message now that my show now is blocked in Japan. I don't know why or how that's happening. But at what point, I know that benevolent extraterrestrials there's the prime directive, and they don't intervene. I mean, we have to learn our lessons on our own on this planet. But what can people do, Simon, from a practical standpoint, other than saying prayers and doing the kind of work that I'll be doing next hour on my show, to try to stop these fires? And who's behind it, and why are they doing it?
Hard one to answer. Some weeks ago, I kept on writing on my website that I didn't understand why the Australian government didn't bring the military in. And then finally, they did bring the military in. Mm-hmm. It's a horrible thing to say, mm-hmm. but I do not believe that this is chance. I cannot believe leadership of a country would allow the level of damage that they have done unless they had some plan. I understand the loss of habitat and the loss of life in terms of animals and things is horrendous. It's absolutely dreadful. Right. Now, why would anybody in their right mind who's supposed to represent the people, why would you not do everything in your power to save your land and to save the animals? And so, therefore, I have the gravest concerns about the government of Australia. I really think that there's something very evil going on. Mm-hmm. What can people do? Well, I think that the little bit of knowledge I have about Australia is any Australian person, I strongly advise you to write to whoever legally or professionally represents you and say, you know, that you're outraged at this. And in terms of the politicians, I think you say to them, I categorically will not vote for you at the next election, because I can tell the audience that all most politicians care about is being re-elected. And if you say, I promise I will never forget what has happened, and unless you do something dramatic quickly, I promise I will campaign against you and I won't vote for you, that is the only thing that makes politicians or lawmakers change direction. Mm. So that's physical thing. In terms of the energy thing, I think we need to get groups of people together. Mm-hmm. We have had a consciousness meditation at my organization for Australia and California. I think people have got to get together in small groups, mm-hmm. and they have got to absolutely fight this terrible evil that is coming down on Australia at the moment. So you need a physical reaction and you need an energy or a spiritual reaction, and you have to put the two together.
When the fires happened last year, the fires were happening, many of the fires, not all of them, but many of the fires were happening, Simon, in an area where it is said, the rumor had that Dianne Feinstein's husband would benefit from the fires, because the rumor that I heard that he had planned to confiscate the land of people's burned out homes and put a high-speed rail in for some sort of transportation development. I don't know whether it's true, but that's what I heard. And where the location of the fires in Australia, do you think there's a purpose in where these areas have been targeted? I guess it goes back to who's doing it and why. Yeah.
Well, to try and answer the question, Ted, I mean, as an ex-lawmaker, I am absolutely shocked at the way that these politicians and these lawmakers in Australia are responding, because it is political suicide. I have seen pictures of their capital city absolutely covered in smoke and smog from the fires. Well, these people won't vote for those lawmakers. If you've got to go to work and you're coughing and spluttering and you've got terrible lung troubles because of all this smoke, you won't forget that. So why would lawmakers let this happen without taking great action? So there must be something that's more important to them than their re-election. So I think somebody is putting the pressure on that's so great that it is greater than a lawmaker's natural instinct to politically survive. And when I look, something like millions, I'm not joking, millions of animals and creatures have died, millions, in this fire in Australia. The koala bear population, which is a protected animal in Australia, has nearly been wiped out.
Wow.
Why would a politician, a lawmaker, allow such things? You'd get your navy out, you'd get the army out, you'd get the air force out, you'd get everything. You'd go to the United States of America and you say, can we buy some or can we lease some water planes? Can we do this? Can we do that? You'd put a call out for volunteer firemen to come from other countries, and you'd pay. You know, you'd do everything, wouldn't you?
Right.
But they don't. So I think that there's some very nasty ulterior motive, and I hope the electors of Australia punish this government for their catastrophic failure to protect their own country.
Well, it's amazing, really, because I had read stories last year that the Australian government had authorized massive vaccination sprays over in populations, that people who didn't want vaccinations, they just spray them. They had also, I guess there's all kinds of, I don't know all everything that's going in Australia. We don't get a lot of news up here on it. What I do get is just here and there on the internet. What do your friends tell you what's going on in Australia with the government there, Simon?
The Australia is, when I say close to America, I don't mean President Trump. I mean the principle. There are, the United States of America has two friends in the world. Mm-hmm. Now, that may sound very odd. Two true friends, and I'm afraid Canada is not one of those friends, but the two true friends to the United States of America are Great Britain, United Kingdom, and Australia. But the control system in Australia is of the same time when you had President Obama in office. So the people who were running the show under Obama are the same sort of visionaries that you have in Australia. In other words, the control system in Australia is very different now than it is from Great Britain or it is from the United States. And I think that what's happening is that the governments or the people in charge in Australia have just gone rogue. I think they've gone maverick, and I think they've just gone completely off the rails. And I think that what we're seeing is a implosion of government in Australia. And I, like many people, you know, I do get information. I've got coordinators in Australia who are just one coordinator that luckily saved their house. The fire came very close, and other people have had very near, very close experiences to it, just as it did in California. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't understand it. I don't understand how somebody who's elected to office can be so uncaring about his people or the country. You've got to be seriously screwed in the head, and I think that's the cause here.
Seriously screwed in the head.
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah. Well, I've just gotten reports from not only Japan but also Costa Rica that we're getting blocked. This broadcast is blocked. So we are, I hope if you are listening, just send me an email to outoftheisworld1150@gmail.com. The technicians and producer are looking, my producers are looking into it right now. So if you can hear me, then you can hear me. But if you can't hear me, then you're not hearing this. But if you can, go to the YouTube because you can get audio and visual. You can see me here in the studio for the entire show. Go to the website at www.1150kknw.com and click on Listen Live till 4 p.m. Seattle time, and you'll be able to listen and see me here on YouTube. So that's working fine. Oh, my goodness.
Ted, I can't see. Ted, forgive me. I'm trying to see the connection between your show being blocked in Japan and Costa Rica. I'm trying to see what the connection is. Why would those two countries, why would there be an effort to block there?
I don't know. I got another message now sent from someone else overseas. Doesn't say. She says she's out of the U.S. Doesn't say where she is. I have no idea. But anyway, they're looking on into it now. Let me. I'm just sending little quick notes to a couple of these listeners. I'm getting reports now all over the world. I'm getting blocked. Well, you can look at this several ways. Maybe we're doing something right today. And so they're trying to stop us from talking. That's one way to look at it, I guess.
Have you still got to the U.S.? Are you still broadcasting to the U.S.?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're fine. In the U.S., we're fine. It's just good. Overseas that we don't seem to be.
Okay.
Don't seem to be getting anybody. But we're looking into it. We're looking into it. Okay, I'm getting more questions in about the fires in Australia. Is this a rehearsal, John writes, for other parts of the world, like California with fires? I mean, what happens the rumor.
No. California was the rehearsal. California was the rehearsal for Australia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was. Okay. Oh, okay. And I'm getting the problem has been fixed in Japan. So I'm glad they're listening. I'm happy. Good. Okay. Well, thank you. I think if you're listening, if you're looking to the show on YouTube right now, go to 1150kknw.com and just click on Listen Live at YouTube, the live stream. There's a whole bunch of angelic light that just came into the studio, and my angels have come to the rescue. So we're getting help. You know, it'll be amazing. Can you think of this scenario, Simon? In a couple of years' time, if we keep going the way we are, the planet will shift into the fifth dimension, and you and I and most of my audience will be communicating but telepathically in the fifth dimension rather than here in the third. Won't that be fun?
I'm going to put a spanner in the works.
Okay.
There may be some people who choose to stay behind because they cannot leave the others behind. In other words, there are people who will naturally be able to evolve to the fifth, but will feel they have to stay behind. Otherwise, what's left to try and help those who didn't make it the first time?
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Interesting. Okay, it's kind of like spirits who are ready to ascend, but they chose...
No. Ted, in the same way that you and many others incarnated here to do a job of work, to do things, and it's successful in the sense that, you know, there's a division and a certain proportion who are meant to evolve will, and a certain proportion who are not yet ready, there are some people who will choose to stay with the unevolved group because if not, what support structure is there for them?
Oh, I see. I see. Okay. All righty. Okay.
But most of us will think, phew, vacation time. I'm off.
I don't know how many times I've heard that from fellow lightworkers and psychics. They said, oh, my gosh, I can't wait till my contract's up and I leave this planet. Yeah. I just want to get through it. I can't wait. They're funny. They're funny. These questions have been coming in groups. I have a whole group of questions that I've just summarized for the fires in Australia, and thank you so much for addressing those, Simon. And the second ones have been the problems with Iran and Iraq right now.
Yeah.
The news story that caught my eye, and I have a listener listening now who wanted to have me ask you about this, Simon, is about this proposed military military exercises that China, Russia, and Iran were doing jointly against the U.S. or against any kind of U.S. U.S. action. Is that a cause for alarm? Any cause for alarm, Simon?
Right. Each one of the countries you've mentioned, they're not really working in agreement. Okay. Each one has his own axe to grind.
I see.
Russia is doing it simply because America is trying to prevent the Nord pipeline. Russia is going to provide Germany with fuel, gas, with a massive pipeline coming all the way across the land from Russia to Germany. And Germany then will not be buying gas either from the United States or from Saudi Arabia. Now, President Trump and the Pentagon have said that this is a hostage to fortune because if Germany becomes dependent on that and Russia turns the gas off, Germany's in a problem. So America's threatening sanctions on both Germany and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So as part of that, the Russians are showing that they've got a bit of strength. Mm-hmm. So they're doing some of the displays. The Iranians have got their own problems, and we'll talk about those in a minute. So they're doing that. The Chinese, and you've got also the Indians as well, they are absolutely determined to rule the world financially. So although this is a military exercise with a number of countries taking part, it is not the solid agreement. It's not the solid group of friends. These are disparate countries who are not really allies. They're just using this opportunity to make their own point. So I really wouldn't give it any credence at all.
All right. All right. Maybe it was you a couple of months ago, Simon, but you had mentioned that the government of Iran is cabal, and they would like nothing better than to start a war. But I don't think the people are there in favor of it, personally. I know this government, I don't think our government is in favor of a war either. I mean, who in the right mind with nuclear weapons would want a war anyway in that part of the world?
Well, in 1938, when Adolf Hitler basically got places like Czechoslovakia without firing a shot, the world powers caved in. Not America, because America wasn't still very isolationist, but powers caved in. And the point that is relevant here is when Hitler came back to Germany, having been very successful in gaining part of Czechoslovakia, the German people were absolutely ecstatic. Not because of Hitler, but because they thought that a war had been averted. So the run-ups to that, it looked like there was going to be, as did happen, but at that time in 1938, it looked as if there was going to be a war between Germany and Great Britain, because a British prime minister flew out to meet Hitler and had a talk. Right. So if you look at some of the newsreels, the real-time video of the time, German people reacted. And my answer to you, Ted, is that most people don't want a war. It's only the people who are so disassociated from reality and live in their own world, they're the ones that want a war.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the tide, I think the tide has turned, too. I think Nostradamus is right that we've got a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. I guess that leads him into the next several... groups of questions, several questions about the U.S. troops arriving in Iraq. What do you think of that? On your post, you said that 750 extra troops have been arrived in Iraq. Is that cause for concern?
Probably nearer to 850. It's approximately a battalion. Mm-hmm. But what is not made clear is that over the last few months, 14,000 American troops have been put into the area. So although officially there are 5,000 troops in Iraq, officially 5,000 U.S. troops, in that general area, over 14,000 have been arriving over the last 3 months or so.
Oh, wow.
This battalion is, the latest. There's about 850 troops that with 750 combat and 100-plus support troops have arrived. It's not a cause for concern. It's actually a useful, because the higher the troop numbers, the less likely of a war. If an aggressor thinks that he can just push into a country and there'll be no resistance, he's very likely to do it. If the buffer is reasonably well patrolled, then any aggressor thinks twice, because they know that it's going to cause a problem. If I give you the history with Great Britain in 1982, I think it was, when Argentina attacked British Falkland Islands, they did so because the British garrison was incredibly small at those. And ever since then, the garrison has been 6-7 times greater, and that's prevented a war. So sometimes putting troops in isn't an act of war. It is a message to the other side. And it was a guy called Clausewitz, who was a great German tactician, who said that, you know, a war was just an extension of politics. So I think President Trump understands this, and I think the Pentagon understand it, that if you move assets around the map, whether it's an aircraft carrier or troops, you are sending a statement that this is a no-go area. And I think that on balance, this was the right move, because what we don't want is a war in the Middle East. Absolutely, we do not want a war in the Middle East, full stop.
Right. Right. I just got some emails. Apparently, the radio broadcast could not be accessed in Minnesota and other states. So it was a blockage. Lots of different places. So I'm glad. Eric, thank you so much. Did a great job. We really appreciate it. Well, thank you so much for explaining that, because I had one question asking whether this was any significant and should we be worried. You know, the next thing, and we've talked about this before, and it's been on the minds of a lot of people, are these sealed indictments with respect to Jeffrey Epstein. On January 16th, could you tell us a little bit more? I mean, it's in your post, you said there's 3,000 pages of new evidence, my goodness, and indictments that have been coming out. And anyway, yeah. We'd love some more information on that.
Sure. I did say it's 50-50. There's no guarantee that the indictments will be open, but around that date, is any time actually from the 12th to the 16th, a federal judge would have the right, if he or she chooses to unseal them, 3,000 new items. And it's absolutely staggering. But the key here is that it is not so much about what we know, is about the names that will be brought in. In other words, if they open these 3,000 pages, it will create 100 new avenues to follow up. And some of these avenues will lead to some of the biggest names in America. Mm. Now, the madam, in the true sense of the word, the madam of Jeffrey Epstein, who was managing all his situations, has actually written to the federal judge asking him not to open them. So there's a real push from the other side to try and keep it sealed. I do know for a fact that President Trump wants them opened. I also know that President Trump wants it opened in public. In other words, he wants the public to be aware of what's going to happen. So it's a real battle between one group in Washington and another group in Washington as to whether these bits of paper get opened and dealt with. But if they are opened with, it is going to cause a bigger explosion than the first business with Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, fascinating. Well, how old are these indictments? Have they been accumulating over the years? And so
the evidence that's been brought forward has been collected by a number of people for a number of years. But the information that is relevant to the investigation has been collected over the last 3 months. And there are a number of people in the Justice Department who have been seconded to the Justice Department, but actually work in other organizations. And after this, they will return back to their organizations. So there has been a lot of information gained from Jeffrey Epstein himself before the interesting situation in the prison. And a lot of people who have preferred to cooperate rather than face the court system. Sure. So if these papers are opened, expect some big names, really big names, to, you know, be found, and we'll see what happened. Now, in relation to the royal family in Great Britain, as possibly can go two ways. Either the Queen of England has insulated the royal family to such an extent that she can throw Prince Andrew to the end, and, you know, that'll be it, and he'll be disgraced forever. Or they'll try and do a deal that will put a lesser charge on him. And I think he will be asked to go to America to testify, and I think he will refuse.
I see.
That would leave a situation where he could never, ever, ever go to America again, because if he did, he would be arrested. So I think he will never go to America or one of the American friendly countries.
I see. Wouldn't that be an interesting scenario?
Very, very interesting indeed. And I think that before people think that I've gone crazy, I think we're seeing the answer here, because the Queen, Andrew was not invited to a number of public events that the family were invited to. At Christmas Day, the royal family always goes to church. And what happened was that he went to the 9 o'clock in the morning church, uh-huh. and the family went at about 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock. So they're absolutely keeping him separate, which tells me they're expecting a lot more dirt to come out.
I couldn't help but notice this, Simon, and forgive me for bringing this up, but my friends also pointed it out when President Trump visited Great Britain, United Kingdom here a few months ago, maybe it was last year sometime. He walked ahead of the Queen when protocol meant that he was supposed to walk behind her. Do you remember that? What happened?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, sorry to throw this out.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Well, there's been a very interesting arrangement. This Queen, our Queen of England, and your president actually have a good working relationship. Mm-hmm. In actual fact, their relationship is not a personal relationship, it is a business relationship. Mm. So Her Majesty the Queen and President Trump actually, through their advisors, have a very good relationship. And through history, the Crown of England has actually owned the United States of America.
I've heard that.
Yeah. And the War of Independence never actually gave you guys your freedom. What it did was give you your freedom from direct taxation and controls, but it never freed you from the oversight of a monarch in Great Britain. Mm-hmm. Now, when President Trump walked a few steps in front of the Queen, he was signaling that the United States of America was no longer second best to Great Britain, and he was making a point that we are now free of the monarchy. But he didn't mean it in a disrespectful or a nasty way. He was just saying that the time has now come for the United States of America to be independent from a royal interference. That's what that was all about.
There's a judge here in the States named Judge Anna Von Rice. She lives up in Alaska, Simon. I should put you in touch with her. And she's been saying the same thing for many years and written a lot of articles and books about it, too. So,
okay, well, I haven't heard of the lady, but you know, obviously we are agreeing with each other, so that's good.
Yeah. Well, I'll make a note to send you a link to her information. I think you'd find it fascinating. You had a post on your website about somebody made a fake website using your picture.
Well, as you said, we're looking into it. Somebody had talked about the Illuminati and was forming a group or a club or something, and it used my picture. So I got my tech guy to write to their tech guy and said, you know, you can't use my picture to sell your products.
Right.
You can't do that. It's illegal.
Right.
You can't stick someone's face on there without their permission because you are selling a product. Right. And on one hand, I think, yeah, well, that's quite interesting that somebody wants my face. Mm-hmm. But of course, it's totally not on. There's a lot of silliness at the moment. It must be January is a mad time. But I think that there's a lot of panic going on within the bad people at the moment. And I think that they're just doing a lot of stuff just to cause people trouble. I mean, look at the radio station. You're telling me and the audience that certain places can't pick your message up. Right. Well, I think it's January, and you know, a lot of people make a New Year's resolution. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we get messages sent to us just reminding us that the other side are not dead and beaten, but are still there and fighting. And that's why I often say to people, don't just listen to all this nonsense on the internet that says the battle has been won.
Yeah.
It hasn't been won. We're still fighting.
You're right.
We're still fighting it.
Look at Australia. I know there's a lot of people listening today about the Australian fires. We'll be starting our prayers in about 15 minutes or so. But I did an intention experiment with Dr. Masurumoto back in July of 2014, Simon, and we did a prayer meditation to help bring peace to the Middle East. The Israelis and the Palestinians were fighting at the time.
Yeah.
And we all sent out our prayers in love and light to the Palestinians and the Israelis, asking for a 12-hour ceasefire to exchange food and medical supplies for the wounded. And lo and behold, 5 hours later, the Palestinians and the Israelis agreed to a 12-hour ceasefire spontaneously with no plans to do it. So it worked. So we're going to try it again Try it again now.
It does work. It does work, and it can work. Mm-hmm. And you know, it can overcome what appears to be insurmountable difficulties. But sure. The power of thought, the power of consciousness, the power of true belief, and I guess underpinning it all, love, mm-hmm. actually really can overcome anything. Right. But the problem is, it is the belief. You've got to believe in it. And that's the key point. You've got to believe in it. And I think what we've seen over the last few years, Ted, is that people are coming more towards that understanding
right.
because they have been let down. They've been failed
right.
by the system as it is. And when you're failed by a system, you naturally look around for the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, especially people outside of Australia, what can we do other than send perhaps some money to the relief efforts there to help people? But prayers do work. Intention does work. I know there's a famous researcher named Lynn McTaggart. I think she lives in London, actually, and she does intention experiments, and she's proved also that they do work. And I know that most people don't condone the fires in Australia. They won't want people to suffer. Apparently, something like 480 million animals have also died in the fires as well.
Well, that's the point, Ted, that the twofold approach. One is people writing to their politicians, telling them if they don't do something, they're going to not vote for them. The second thing, as we've said, is the energy help. But what I think is, once a handle is got on this, I think the people of Australia and as many from outside need to put pressure for sanctuaries for animals to be built up to save what's left, to pump money into it and to basically save the wildlife that have been destroyed.
Right.
What's happened isn't just a disaster for Australia, mm-hmm. it's a disaster for the ecology of the planet. And Australia
right.
is a wonderful special place.
Right.
And you know, I think about, you know, television and all the rest of it, all the koala bear
right.
Is so important. Well, if they don't do something, then in years to come, school children in Australia will be looking at books of pictures of a koala and saying, oh, what a shame we haven't got any left today.
Right. Extinction.
I don't think people understand what's happening in Australia. It's a crime. I believe it's a crime.
Yeah.
So, I just think that there's something very, very unnatural taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Australian people need to basically get off their bottoms, and they need to go out there and bang on doors and say, you got to do something. We're not having it.
I had one gentleman from Sydney contact me, and I'm not going to mention his name for privacy, but he did contact me from Australia. He told me lots of interesting things, indicating it was these fires were engineered and were manufactured. They weren't natural. And I asked him to come on my show today, Simon, and he refused. He says, look, I don't want retribution, and I'm afraid I might lose my job if I did. So, but people, I don't know what the situation politically is like down there, whether the government intimidates people or what for speaking out, but something has to be done, because if they don't, they're not going to have a country left.
Oh, I think the thing is, that's what I'm saying, that you, if you're an Australian voter, you write to whoever represents you, and you say to them, unless you do something quickly, I won't ever vote for you, and I won't forget what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there needs to be movements on social media. I think there needs to be organizations where there is a political movement
mm-hmm.
that says we will only vote for politicians that care about Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be the slogan, basically, care for Australia, and you get my vote, and that's it. And these people don't care for Australia, so they should be voted out, because that is all lawmakers care about. They don't care between the time they're in office, except
right.
the election.
Right.
The election comes along, they suddenly want your vote. and it's, I know
right.
it's the world over,
right.
but when something of this magnitude happens,
right.
it is the only say that a citizen has. He or she
right.
can't do anything in between.
Right.
But come election time, they suddenly want to talk to you.
Right.
So you need to say to people now, basically, Unless you do something, you're never going to be back in office, and that's what needs to happen.
I just got another question in. Thank you, Susan, for sending this in. Is there a connection between the fires in Australia, the fires in California, and the fires in the Amazon?
Yes, because they are all targeting and designed to destroy the ecology of the area. The one in California is not. That's a political thing, and it's also a military thing. That's somewhat different. But if you can hit the Amazon and you can hit Australia, you are hitting vast areas, a relatively depopulated place, mm-hmm. but with a tremendous wildlife, a most exotic wildlife, sure. And a shrubbery and greenery that can be destroyed. And right. this is, look, imagine, I don't mean to be rude, but imagine a demented child, mm-hmm. that's what these evil people are like, mm-hmm. who plays with a toy and then decides it doesn't like the toy anymore, mm-hmm. so picks it up and hits it with a rock, mm-hmm. and keeps doing it until he smashes the toy. Mm-hmm. That's what these people are like in these very high echelons. They become frustrated, and they become very, very sick, and so they will do these things which don't impact them because they don't live in the Amazon, they don't live in Australia, they right. live somewhere else. Right. But it's them hitting out with their uncontrollable anger. Mm-hmm. That's what these people have. And I accept that. What I don't accept is that there are countless people underneath them who are just doing what they're told. Right. And I think that they're as guilty as anyone else, and they need to actually stop doing this. I'll give you an example, as I like giving examples because they're based on reality, mm-hmm. and not something off of the YouTube. Mm-hmm. Just as Germany in 1945 was being defeated, Adolf Hitler gave an order to completely blow up everything in Germany. Wow. Literally. He wanted everything because he said, I'm not going to let the Americans or the British or the Russians get anything. I want the lot blown up. I want every hospital blown up, every factory blown up, everything. Mm-hmm. Albert Speer, who was in charge of the economy, he actually tore that instruction up and threw it in the bin. Mm-hmm. Nobody saw that, and therefore it wasn't carried out.
Wow.
Because Speer, and that's why Speer didn't get hung at Nuremberg. He just got a prison sentence. Mm. The reality is there are people who can prevent these crazy instructions.
Sure.
And they've got to decide whether they care about humanity or whether they don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very profound. And thank you so much for saying that, Simon. I'm sure there's people listening around the world who can make a difference. All of us can make a difference. But perhaps they too cannot follow orders designed to hurt humanity. We've got about 2 minutes left, Simon, and I wanted to give you time to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Thank you. Let's very quickly talk about the situation in Iran because we haven't really covered that.
Okay.
I did post on the website a day ago now, uh-huh. that I actually wrote on my website, I said, when I read what Iran had written in relation to President Trump's warning, I said, oh, no, because what the Iranians wrote was, and I quote, America can't do anything about this. Mm-hmm. And when I read that, I said, oh, no. And I wrote on my website that the best way to upset Uncle Sam is to say that. And I said, they will do something about it. Absolutely. And literally 24 hours later, after I posted that, this is what happened, that this general was taken out in Iraq by a drone attack. But they're actually, I don't know if you guys got the news, but they're also special Navy SEALs were also deployed in case the drone attack didn't work. Mm-hmm. My point is right. that it won't cause a world war because Iran does not want a world war with America. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe the Pentagon would have ordered this attack if they thought it would lead to a war. Mm-hmm. What it has led to is already been an attack in France. I don't know if you guys are aware of it, mm-hmm. but there's been a stabbing. I think two people are dead in Paris. Mm-hmm. And every security service in every capital city in the Western world is on maximum alert, not because there's going to be a coordinated terrorist attack, but because individual people are going to go out and do crazy stuff. Sure. So we are going through a period of uncoordinated problems, but I don't think there's a third world war coming. So please don't let people talk you into that.
Okay. Thank you so much for saying that, Simon. That was important. Well, my friend, I hope you have a beautiful and happy new year. And thank you again so much for sharing your wisdom today. I know everyone really enjoyed what you had to say.
Thank you, Ted. Keep in touch with me, won't you?
Okay, I sure will. There's some new developments we'll have to talk off air about. But
fantastic.
Yeah, have a beautiful day, Simon. Thank you so much again for coming on today. Bye-bye and
God
happy
bless.
New Year.